Well, hello everyone. I'm Pastor Jack, and I'm excited tonight to start a new series of lessons that I'm calling Theology in 30. Basically, we're going to take 30 minutes or less, and we're going to have a theology lesson. So tonight is going to start off this journey by talking about an introduction to theology. Now, I already know that if you're tuning in here, you're wondering what exactly are we talking about when we say theology? Why would we study theology? Why would we be interested in theology? To some of you, immediately theology brings forth the idea of something that's dry, something that's tedious, things that are impractical. And you wonder, what is the point of all this philosophical stuff? Others of you are thinking, I already know theology. I know everything that I need to know already. Don't waste my time. Some others are listening and might hear the word theology and think, oh, he's teaching on theology. I wonder if he's a heretic. I'll listen carefully and watch for anything that I need to disagree with. And theology certainly provokes different responses in different people. And your own thinking about the word theology will be shaped by what you have heard and seen and experienced before. I recognize there are all types of different people in our church and listening on the internet. And each of you brings a unique perspective and understanding to theology. But my goal in this series of Theology in 30 is to take the truths of God's Word and unpack them to you in bite-sized pieces, in small sections, so that you can see how theology is not just significant because the Bible teaches these things, but it's significant because it impacts the way you live, and it impacts the way you worship our great God. So it's vital that we dig into the Word and we see what the Bible teaches. So what is theology? Well, the word comes from two different Greek words, theos and logos. And theos stands for God, and logos means a word, thought. It can be even a conception. So we're talking about, when we say theology, we're talking about the study of God. Now, for Christians, we use the word theology to refer not just to the study of God the Father. That theologians often call theology proper. But the word theology is used in a broad term to describe all that the Bible teaches about God and His relations to us and to the world. So, what the Bible teaches about man, for example, is called anthropology, but it fits under the concept of theology. When it comes to the doctrine of God the Son, it's called Christology. It's the study of Christ. Or the study of the Holy Spirit is called pneumatology, and pneuma is the Greek word for spirit. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about theology. We're going to talk about God. We're going to spend some time looking at today just an introduction to theology, how we do it, what our tools are for doing it. And then next week, we'll talk a little more specifically about the sources for theology and how we can learn about God and His ways. And then we'll just work our way through each doctrine in the Scripture. There's basically 10 major headings of theology, 10 major divisions, and my goal is to spend some time in each one of those, delivering them to you in bite-sized lessons of 30 minutes or less. So I hope you are excited about being on the journey with me as we study theology. Who are these lessons for? Who am I trying to get to pay attention to these lessons on theology? Well, it's pretty broad. Really, I'm aiming for anybody that's awake. Anyone that can hear my voice, I want you to learn about God and His ways. I want to especially minister to the people in our church and help them to understand clearly what the Bible teaches. These lessons are not just for theologians. They're not just for people who want to be pastors or teachers. They're not just for seminary students. Theology is for you. It's for every single person. And here's the truth. You already have a theology. You already have beliefs about God and about the way He works and the way the world works. You have your own understanding of those things. And it doesn't take very long. Even as a child, we begin to develop what we think about how life works and how God works in relation to all of that. But my burden as a pastor is I want our church to have that theology match up with the theology of the Scripture. In other words, I want your personal thoughts about God and how it works in the world, I want them to line up with what God has revealed in His Word. And the only way we're going to have God's mind about these things is to dig into God's Word. So my passion in these lessons is to take the truth of God's Word and to unpack it so that we can clearly see what Scripture says and we can align our thinking with God's truth. So it means that when you come to study theology, you need to come with the attitude of being a learner. You need to come to the Scriptures with the attitude of wanting to know more, wanting to piece all the pieces together better. That's my attitude as I come to Scripture day after day. Until we arrive at the place where we know everything perfectly and we understand how it all fits together and how it all ought to impact every bit of our hearts and our lives, then we need to come with the attitude of a learner. And if I'm going to come to theology with the attitude of a learner, then that means I've got to come to the study of theology with the mindset that I am going to expect to change my thinking and change my perspective based on what the Scripture says. So I'm going to come to the Word as a learner. I'm going to come to the Word knowing that I need to grow and I need to change and I need to conform my thinking to God's thinking as it's revealed in His Word. So you already have a theology. My burden is that it would be a biblical one. My burden as I study the Scripture is that my understanding of God and His ways would be shaped not by my thoughts, but by His truth. It is the Word of God that is the basis. So really there's two big ideas that I want us to get tonight about theology. Two big ideas about studying theology. What are the basics of beginning to think about God and His ways? So they're pretty simple. The first one is that our theology must come from God. So you got that? If we're going to think about God properly, then our theology must come from God. There's a passage of Scripture that I want to show you that I think reveals this very plainly. It's in the Gospel of John, John chapter 3, and we're going to read several verses from it. Lord willing, I'll be able to show those to you on the screen. So you should see John 3, beginning with verse number 1. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews." Now this guy is well known to us that know the Scriptures. Nicodemus is an important religious leader. By being a Pharisee and a ruler of the Jews, he is part of the Sanhedrin, which means he is part of the ruling body of the people. He is a respected leader and teacher of the law. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and verse 2 says, "This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, We know that you are a teacher come from God, and that no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, we're going to keep reading, but if you look back at verse number 2, this man came to Jesus and he knew a lot. He came to Jesus with this attitude, "Jesus, we know. I mean, we've got this figured out. We understand." Listen, if we want to properly understand God and his ways, we can't start with, "Well, I know. Well, let me tell you what I see, what I think." That was Nicodemus's mistake. Now, Nicodemus had come up with some ideas about who Jesus was based on what he saw. His theology was forming not from above, not from God, but from his own perception. And he says, Rabbi is a term of respect for a teacher in Judaism. So he's referring to him as a good teacher, a person for him to learn from. He says, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God." How does he know this? He says, "For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So he deduced from the fact that Jesus did lots of miracles that he must be God's messenger. Now you say, "Well, what's wrong with that deduction?" Well, it's the same deduction that will lead people in the tribulation time to embrace the Antichrist and his agenda. Because he'll be able to do things that seem unexplainable. And he'll be received as from God because he can do something. If you remember Paul's warning in 2 Corinthians, he said not to be turned away from the gospel, even if an angel came and told them something different. He warned them that the truth of the gospel was revealed from God and it should not be turned away from, even if they saw something that seemed miraculous. I believe it's Galatians 1 where he says that most plainly. And in Corinthians, he talks about how the devil is transformed into an angel of light. But anyways, Nicodemus says, "We know. We know this. We've got it figured out." And notice how Jesus just directly confronts his statement. In the very next verse, Jesus doesn't say, "Nicodemus, I'm so glad that you figured this out." Instead, he says, "You don't know anything. If you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. There's no way you can be in it." Now Nicodemus realizes he doesn't know. And he says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He reiterates what he said. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." He said you need a spiritual birth in addition to a physical birth. "Now, do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell when it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Now Nicodemus wonders, "How can this be?" Jesus answers, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know," Jesus speaking of himself and the apostles, "and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." What is Jesus wanting Nicodemus to see? He's wanting them to see that the way to God is not through your own knowledge. Instead, Jesus is going to make it clear as he goes on and teaches Nicodemus, the way to know God is to receive what he declares, to receive what he declares about himself. So if we are going to properly understand theology, listen, we must learn from God. We can't set ourselves up as the judges of God. You know, this happens sometimes when people look at the world and say, now, how could God do that? God must not be just if he does this. Here's what's happening. That's a theology that's coming from me. A theology from below, not a theology from above. The way we understand God is not because we are so smart here as humans, we figured him all out. No, the only way we can understand God is how he reveals himself to us. Jesus would go on to say that he is the one who came to be the Savior of the world. That he loved the world. The Father loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus wanted Nicodemus to know if he wanted to go to God's kingdom, if he wanted to see it, he needed to know what Jesus said, not what he deduced on his own. A very important verse in Scripture is Proverbs 1 and verse 7. And really, there are quite a few other verses that say essentially the same thing. But this is a key passage. Notice what it says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It says if you want to get knowledge, where do you start? You start with fearing the Lord. It starts with reverence towards God. In other words, if I'm going to understand anything in this world properly, I must begin with God. The great mistake of our modern educational system is it attempts to extract theology from the study of everything else. In doing so, it blatantly contradicts the Scripture. It does what verse 7 says. It despises wisdom and instruction. If God is the creator and founder of all, if he has put everything in its place, if he's created the heavens and the stars and arranged them all in their place, then he is the starting point for our study of those things. We will not be able to understand the world and how it works without understanding God. We need a clear knowledge of God if we're going to understand theology. In John chapter 1 and verse 18, this point is driven home even more. Jesus is the one being referenced here. It says, no one has seen God at any time. How are you going to know God? You can't even see him. How are you going to figure him out? You can't even see him. You can't figure him out without being able to see him. But John writes, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, speaking about Jesus Christ, he has declared him. It is Jesus who reveals to us the Father. That's why Nicodemus said, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you need to receive what I'm testifying to you. Because Jesus is declaring the Father. Later, Jesus said to his disciples that he had been with them, so because of that, they had been able to see the Father. The only way we can know God, listen, get this, the only way we can know the truth about theology and the truth about reality is to hear God's revelation. God knew that man needed this kind of instruction. Do you remember the account of creation in the book of Genesis? Each day God makes something. And really, it begins with his words. He says, let there be light, and there was light. And he goes through the days of creation, and he creates things, and he doesn't give any other commentary. In other words, he doesn't say, let there be light, and then say, okay, light, here's how it's going to work. Every day, you need to shine brightly. That's your job. And then the birds, he didn't say, okay, birds, I need you to flutter around to different places and eat seeds and insects and all this sort of stuff. And you'll have an important part of the way the ecosystem works. He didn't give individual instructions to all these different creatures. He made them and built into them what they needed to know to do what he wanted them to do. We call it their instincts. It was built into them. But what did God do when he created man? What did he do? He creates man, and then he immediately speaks to man. He immediately gives him instruction. Because if this man is going to know what he's supposed to do, he's going to have to receive God's truth. If Adam was going to be effective, he needed to hear God's instructions, which were for him to subdue the earth, to multiply, and do various things. But God spoke to him. So if we're going to understand God and his ways, we can't rely on our own understanding. We must submit ourselves to how God has spoken to us, and God has spoken to us primarily today through the scriptures. So we'll talk more about how God has revealed himself in general through the world, how he speaks even through creation, and then how he speaks through the prophets and his son and the scriptures. We'll examine all those probably next week. But for now, I want you to know the most important principle when it comes to studying theology is our theology must come from God. It must come from him. Now, the second point is equally vital. Not only must our theology come from God, but our theology must lead to worship. What we believe and understand about God must lead us to worship. This is our main job. Jesus said in Matthew 22, in describing the greatest commandment, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It is our task as the created beings of God, created in God's image, it is our task to devote ourselves to love God with all our heart, all our thoughts, all our emotion, all the devotion that we have, it belongs to God and his purposes. With our soul, I mean the very essence of who we are. And he says with all our mind. Our mind refers to our thinking. As we study these lessons in theology, my goal is to make it simple, but my goal is to make you think. My goal is to challenge your thinking. My goal is to let God use his word to correct your thinking so that your life and your thinking about God and how this world works would be an act of love and devotion to God. Another scripture that goes along with this same idea is in the book of Romans. These were our memory verses at church not too long ago. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Couple things in these verses. Verse number one makes it clear that my life belongs to God as a sacrifice. I owe my all to him. I should, in response to the great love of God in Christ and dying for my sins, I should crawl up on the altar and offer myself as an act of worship to Him. So this is what we were made for. We were made for God. And if you want to find your greatest joy, if you want to find your greatest contentment, your greatest purpose in life, then devote yourself to studying theology so that you can know and worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. Vital to doing this is what's described in verse 2, and that is a transformation that begins in your mind. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We grow to know and love and worship God by growing in our knowledge of Him and our commitment to worship Him. But it happens through the changing of our thinking. It happens as we look at the truth of Scripture. And again, remember, we come to it as a learner. We come to it willing to change. We come to it expecting that God is going to teach us new things. We come to the Scripture expecting to learn more, to grow in our understanding of the truth, to be changed more and more to be like Jesus. So I'm very excited about studying theology with you, and I hope this introduction will get you fired up a little bit to say, hey, there's a great God, and He has spoken to us. He wants us to know Him. And my greatest ambition in life would be to know Him and to love Him and to worship Him, for He is worthy.